Hello and welcome to the TCF Morning Show. It is Friday, February 26th, and this morning I am joined by Boomy at Boomy TCF and Matt Schoolfield at schools underscore 01. I am Zach Lilia at Z Lilia TCF. The main page is at typical underscore Chicago. This morning we'll be talking about the Blackhawks who beat the Blue Jackets last night 2-0. Their second straight win, 5 of 6 for them. The Bulls also have won 5 of 6. They played tonight against the Suns. Russell Wilson, one of the 4 teams that he would be willing to be traded to, is the Chicago Bears. So we'll be talking about that. Cubs, White Sox spring training update. And then we will end the show with Boomy's Wacky web story. If you want to follow us on Facebook or Instagram, just type in Typical Chicago Fans. You can find us on there. Give us a follow, please. Go over to YouTube, type in Typical Chicago Fans. Subscribe to the YouTube page. All of our morning shows, podcasts, interviews, all on the YouTube page. And then wherever you get your podcast from, please type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. If it's Apple, please subscribe, rate, and review. If it's anywhere else, just type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. Shout out to 26shirts.com Chicago. Type in the promo code Typical Chicago Fans at checkout for 15% off of your purchase. Again, that is Typical Chicago Fans at checkout for 15% off of your purchase at 26shirts.com Chicago. Chicago boys, how are we doing? This the end of the week. We haven't done a show all week. How are we doing?
Good, man. It's almost the weekend. Long week this week, but you know, like you said, we were off all week, got a little busy, and we're back. And weekend is right around the corner, so I have zero things to complain about.
It's warming up, boys. I know it's only like 40, 45. We're supposed to be 50, wave, 55. I think Chicago's going to get up to about 50, 55 this weekend.
Hey, 10 days ago, it was like the wind chill was like negative 18. So oh, this
it's
is
unbelievable. It's crazy. I know it's only wet blanket, probably 20, 30 degree difference, but it feels amazing.
I don't mean to wet blanket this thing, but that just means a lot of us like, this foot of snowpack is going to turn into a sloppy fucking mess.
It's already getting there, yeah.
So just prep yourself for that one.
I hate to be this way, Manny, but I'll take it if it warms up a little bit.
Well, absolutely. I'll take sloppy mess over, like, -5. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not saying that. But, you know, just don't want to get too pumped up yet. Get me to 65 with no snow on the ground, and my God, you will see a big smile on my face. Let's put it that way.
Very true, very true. I have a bunch of snow in my backyard still. So
I got a shitload, dude. It's crazy.
Wait, you can't even enjoy the nice weather right now. What'd you say?
I couldn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
I said you can't even enjoy the nice weather with all the snow in my backyard right now.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But like you said, it is, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel for winter, hopefully.
Knock on wood, in a way.
Yeah, I don't know. I forget what that stupid groundhog said, but I think it was 6 more weeks of.
They canceled it. COVID canceled the groundhog, dude.
We should just cancel that stupid animal for the rest of time.
Not a fan of the groundhog.
Don't need it.
Let's out go on the groundhog. Our as well. First, unanimous.
Our first subject: the Blackhawks beat the Blue Jackets 2-0. They're looking good, boys. 5 of 6. The Blue Jackets, twice in a row. They're looking good on the offensive side, and also the goalies are really stepping up.
Yeah, Subban gets a shot tonight and pitches a shutout. So, I mean, it's one of those things we complained a lot, you know, early, and one of our biggest worry points was the defense and the goaltending, and rightfully so. I mean, look at the way they started. They gave up, what, 11 goals in the first 2 games? And like you said, Zach, we've had Lankinen had a shutout, I think, last week, maybe early this week, and now Subban does it. That's definitely progress.
Yeah, it's awesome because at the beginning of the season, they were like, oh, we don't know what's going to happen with the goalies. When Corey Crawford signed with another team, but then actually ended up retiring. Yeah. With the big question mark at the beginning of the season, and they've really stepped up. The whole Blackhawks team has stepped up. The rookies. I mean, Patrick Kane is just playing on another level again, like always.
That Golden Knight was just dirty.
Playing great. This whole team is just starting to mesh really well together.
Kane's doing something every night right now. That's just the same thing as that we say all the time. It's the wow factor is off the charts with him, and it's unbelievable what he's been able to do. And you're starting to see if a guy like him, you're in every game. You're never really out of it when you got a guy that can either put one in the net himself or set up an easy goal for somebody else, you know, it basically whenever he needs to. And, you know, this team just keeps getting 2 points every night. And what, 5 of 6 now? Five wins in their last 6 games. They've beaten good teams now. It's not just they're not just eating up the Red Wings. You know, the Blue Jackets are a good squad. You know, they beat them 3 times now in the last week. It's Jeremy Colleton deserves a lot of
fucking
credit.
That's tough to do, is to beat a team back to back. I mean,
it sure is.
They don't have to scout for you again. They just played you. They know you, your team, and they beat them twice.
Two different goalies, and like you said, Boomy, you brought up Subban, but you can't ignore what Ian Mitchell has brought to this blue line and what he's been to that defenseman court. And as a rookie, he is just steady as hell right now, and you can rely on him anywhere you need him. Never makes a mistake. It's like what you don't see with Boqvist, you know, and Boqvist is going to always take the chance. It's always a little bit like more offensive minded, but still just doesn't seem to always know where to be and when to be, so to say. But Ian Mitchell is just always making play after play after play, and you see him everywhere. And, you know, it's when you got a D-man like that, that's, you know, can kind of hold his own for a minute and a half every time he's out there, you're going to be in good hands with your goalie then too. So don't undersell what that kid's brought to this team.
You guys bring up Patrick Kane, and it's kind of interesting to watch now. And you're starting to see his career come full circle from being, you know, obviously the first round draft pick, and being, you know, the young kid out there. And now he's probably one of the older guys on the ice at most times. And, you know, he's really kind of stepped into that leadership role. I've watched a lot of his like post game interviews and stuff, and it's really cool to see that he hasn't really lost a step. Like you said, you can count on him every night to keep you in games, and he's not just that old grizzled veteran that's there for you know, morale support, but he's keeping you in game. It's really interesting to watch. It's a dynamic you don't see very often.
Well, you can tell he's having fun out there, and like hit with him and DeBrincat, it's those two pack such a punch together when they get going. And you get a rush with those two guys, it's damn near unstoppable. And you're seeing that in overtime when you can get those two guys in a 3-on-3 situation, the open ice, the fast pace. Those two guys are going to eat up most teams. It's just the way it is. It's their games are perfect for it. You got a lefty, a right-handed shot. They can play opposite each other really well. And it's just a perfect combo. So if you get to overtime and you can throw those two guys out there, you're in good hands. And we've started to see that, you know, they've won 2 or 3 overtime games in the last 3 weeks together, just in the last 3 weeks, I think. And, you know, it's a fun team. They're playing their asses off. Colleton deserves a lot of credit. If he's not the coach of the year right now, he's in the conversation.
Sure. From a guy we all wanted fired.
Wanted him gone. I still want Bowman gone because I still don't think Stan Bowman's done enough to get this roster in the right spot. What he has done, though, is got a group of guys that are playing their asses off. So I got to give him kudos there because they're winning games. You can't ask for much more than that. I just don't necessarily – I don't think – doesn't matter about Stan Bowman. I'm sorry. It doesn't even matter about him.
That's right, a whole other episode.
Team. This is about the team they keep winning games. So, you know,
A throwaway team. You know, this is a team that we were told was never
going to compete. This is a team that was in the hunt for the number one pick is what we were told. And what I believed, I was wrong. 100%. I was dead wrong about this team. Dead wrong about this team. So it's cool to see. You know, I tweeted earlier today, I was dead wrong about Zach LaVine. So if we need to transition to the Bulls too, I was dead wrong there. I was dead wrong about the Hawks. It turned into a really fun winter sports in Chicago.
That's a beautiful transition there, Maddie.
Like a pro, baby.
The Bulls have won 5 of 6. They play the Suns tonight. The Bulls are now in 6th place, boys, and they are a half a game out of 4th place. I don't know if that's exactly right now, but I have a stat here that's pretty nuts. They are 8-5. In the month of February, so they have officially wrapped up an over .500 record for the first month since December 2017.
Jeez.
Wow.
That doesn't seem.
That's crazy. It's unbelievable.
That is absurd.
That's crazy, though. You would think. That's 3 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
4 years, sorry.
Yeah.
Starting to see what a good coach can do in the NBA.
It's wild, isn't it?
But that's really a stat that shows you that they are trending in the right direction, finally.
And Zach LaVine is officially an all-star.
Yes.
And Zach LaVine's officially a star. All-star. I was wrong. I want to admit it right here.
All-star appearance.
Right here on the pod, I just want to say, hand up, I was wrong. If anyone wants to join me and say they're wrong, it would make me feel better. But I was wrong.
I'll say I was wrong, but I'm with Maddie.
He's awesome, he can be one of the three on a championship team. If you need a big three to win a championship, as basically everybody thinks, he can be one of those three, in my opinion, at this point. Now, how you get the other two, that's up to AK, and the rest of the front office, you know, how they're going to do it. But, you know, hey, you got one of them. Let's get two more, you know.
It's awesome. It's nice to see this team finally working together, the players and the coaches, all on the same page. The players are invested in this team, and they trust this coach. And it's just nice to see that you can finally see some trust, because last year there was nothing there.
Nothing. Guys, I got another stat for you. Zach LaVine, since the first of the year, has only scored under 20 points three times.
That's pretty good.
And a lot of these.
He's averaging like 28, 29, right?
Let's see. He is averaging 28.8 right now.
Fourth or fifth?
I think so. I think he's still up. He is currently. No, he's not top five. Currently sixth. Yep, he's .1 behind Luka Doncic. So, it's
25 years old. Word,
yeah, people forget that he's been in the league a while. I don't want to be, you know, rain on the parade here with a team this young, with a core like they have. You hope that this success can sustain, and that these long, weird NBAs, because I think I saw they're playing like 32 games in 62 days in the second half of the season.
With that, so, I would say this is where the experience of Billy Donovan, I think, will really come into play.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because look what they've done with Thad Youngway.
That multiple times in the NBA already.
Yeah, you're seeing the way he's been using Garrett Temple and Thaddeus Young are becoming guys that are not just end-of-the-bench guys on other teams. They're playing a role, and they're getting more minutes because, they're out there giving, the young guys a break, and they're playing their ass off right now. So you want to see that continue as the second half creeps up on us here.
Boys, how awesome is it that we have the Blackhawks and the Bulls to look forward to?
Great.
Pretty much every night of the week. It's awesome.
And if the playoffs in both leagues started today, both teams would be in.
Yep. So I am excited to see where those two teams go.
It feels like 2013, 2011.
Yes. Yep.
Yes. We'll talk about them more next week on the TCF Morning Show. All right, fellas, let's get into this one. Russell Wilson has said that he, if he was to demand a trade, would either go to the Bears, Cowboys, Saints, or Raiders. Raiders have a quarterback right now. The Cowboys and Saints don't really have a quarterback per se. And the Chicago Bears seems like the only fit that would really work, doesn't it, Maddie?
Well, it does, but I want to spin it this way. And I heard an interesting take, and I can't remember where it was, what news or what website it was today, but I saw a good angle at this. Was not only but if they can't get Russell Wilson, but if Russell Wilson goes to one of those other teams, that's three other options of quarterbacks that now become available. Dak Prescott, which fine. Sign me up for that if that's the guy that the Bears can get after that. You know, I'd take Dak Prescott in a heartbeat. Like you said, the Saints, Jameis, I'd take Jameis over Nick Foles in a heartbeat right now. And Derek Carr, fine. I'll take Derek Carr over Nick Foles in a heartbeat too. So, you know, if they can't get, you know, Russell Wilson out of it, the trickle-down effect of that is going to be, you know, lead to another good quarterback being available most likely. So there could be I'm not opposed to taking care of the domino effect of that. That said, let's go get Russell Wilson. I'm fine with that too. You know, I mean,
and then that's Deshaun the kind of guy Watson, that Deshaun Watson Russell wants out of Houston. And then you see Tariq Cohen kind of trying to recruit him on Twitter. Cordell Patterson puts up the picture with him and Russell Wilson. I think that's awesome to see. But what do you feel like if you're Mitch Trubisky?
If you're Mitch Trubisky, right? I was just thinking
that too. I was like, wait a minute.
Hey, thanks, boys.
Yeah,
lining up the moving truck.
Pretty Jesus. Much. I mean,
that's, yikes. Where are my boys just, at, huh?
Yeah, that's about as telling as you can say it.
It's just rough go at it for Mitch. But hey, you got a pocket full of cash to fall back into. So.
Oh yeah, he'll be all right. I think for him,
dude, if he gets a seven more years 13, out of being a backup quarterback, he'll be just fine with life. So
I think he wants a little bit of a change of scenery too.
I don't think he wants to be in Chicago. We'll put it that way.
You can't really blame the guy.
No, not at all. No, I'm okay. I want to put it this way, Zach. All things being equal, like the trade packages, who knows what they would be. I would assume that they're probably relatively equal in terms of what you're going to have to give up for Wilson and Watson in a trade. Who would you rather have?
What did Adam Schefter say? They should give up the Sears Tower for him.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, but what would you know? Who would you rather have?
What do you mean? Who?
Watson or Wilson, if all things being equal.
Watson.
Booby, who would you say?
Wilson.
I'm just saying for the long term.
Yeah, I agree with you, Zach, on that term. But if you and the way I look at it is Pace and Nagy have to win now with their situation. And I think that the best scenario for them would be Wilson, because if you insert him, the guy just knows how to win. The guy knows how to go to the playoffs. He only has missed the playoffs like two times in his career. And I think for the short term, it's Russ. For the long term, it's Deshaun. It all depends on, you know, what you're looking at. And I'm not saying that Deshaun Watson can't take you to the playoffs in year one or two, but I think if you're looking for an immediate,
that's
I mean,
a tough
not guaranteed
question for Bears fans. That's a tough question.
We take either. Because, like, I'm not gonna kick either out of bed. We'll just put it
you're
not
your gift horse in the mouth here. Either.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, for me, I think it comes down to, you know, I think whichever
if we got Deshaun Watson or we got Russell Wilson, both of them would be the best quarterback the Bears would have ever had.
Definitely. I think Watson might have more talent, and I think Wilson is probably more capable of winning with less, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
You know what I mean? But I think Wilson can kind of go out and win games on his own a little bit with just
he's gone to the playoffs the last 10 years.
No, it's like he rolls out of bed and gets you 8 wins, and then like the rest of your roster to kind of get pull you through to a couple more, and you make the playoffs. So, exactly. You know, between that and, you know, you just haven't seen Watson just kind of take the team and carry it. But I think the potential for him to be able to do that is there. So it's not like, you know what I mean? This guy's a stud. Let's not kid ourselves. He's a franchise quarterback. If you get either one of them, you got
to
do it.
And see, to me, Russ
Wilson
learned
with the Bears, I think he could work with less, because I don't think the Bears would have a great roster around.
Yeah. And I think Russ got there because, you know, those first couple years, you know, when he goes to the Super Bowl, he had some of those weapons, those, you know, things he could go to, and he learned how to win, and that kind of helped him develop into that kind of quarterback, where Deshaun's never really had that. I mean, you can, DeAndre Hopkins was a dog, but, like, that definitely didn't have the talent equivalent of what Seattle had in Russ's early years, and he learned how to handle, you know, that adversity because of what he went through when he had those successful weapons.
Well,
so
let's not forget Wilson, yes, he won a Super Bowl. They also had a historic level defense
Exactly.
So it wasn't, you know, and yeah, I think Houston's had some talent, like you said, but they haven't been, you know, and they haven't been anywhere near the hemisphere that the Seahawks have been.
No.
But, fellas, the problem is he actually has not demanded a trade yet. So,
no.
Really, all if of this, I were, none of this really matters. Yeah.
If I were, really these are the all. Only four teams I'm going to.
Yeah. None of this matters at all. Cubs, White Sox, training camp, or spring training, not training camp.
tomato.
I saw, is it Jose Abreu? Is he out with COVID?
Yes, yeah. He will not start. They started this week or past week, and he tested positive, so he's out for a little bit.
And not much really going on with either team.
Start on Sunday. Cubs play Monday. Right here. I mean,
Monday. It's exciting, especially to see what this for the White Sox, to see what this rotation, both teams, Cubs and White Sox, to see what the rotations can do. The White Sox got a little more, I guess, hope in theirs. But
I see who the Cubs open up with.
Who?
Padres.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's going to be Kyle Hendricks, Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
Opening day.
Gross.
That's disgusting.
Opening day of spring training. Here you go.
But what I was trying to say before Boomy just ruined my mood. I'm excited about this Cubs pitching rotation. Actually,
we're back to kind of being the you got to prove something here, right? That a lot of different projections have the Cubs between 78 and 80 wins. You want to prove that you still have the firepower in your roster, and you know that you can go through that adversity with some of the different scene changes for some guys. Go out there and prove it. You know, this is definitely an opportunity for them to say, well, listen, our division, you know, St. Louis added Arenado and, you know, people are looking down on us. It's been a couple of years since it's been like that. I think the Cubs have been projected to win the division every year since 17 and – or 16, I'm sorry. So your back's up against the wall. You're kind of facing an a time that you haven't faced in, you know, 5 years. So go out and prove it now.
You guys know who I'm excited to see play. Is Jock Peterson. Jock
Peterson.
I'm excited to see that because I know when it first happened, you're like, oh, why did they sign him? You should have signed Schwarber, blah, blah, blah. And I was the same way. I love Schwarber. And I was like, why don't you just keep Schwarber? But I really think that this is he could have a good season, especially playing next
year. I don't like the guy.
No.
I can't stand the guy.
I like Peterson.
I'm not saying that. I don't really care about that. I'm saying that I think he's going to be a good player.
And he probably gets some young Rockets going down sound by itself.
He and half out there with
if he plays Jason well, he'll Hayward. Win me over. I'll put it that way. He's no Jim Edmonds for me.
All right, good. Thank God.
You keep saying that.
Oh, just saying. He's not Jim Edmonds.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I think you're like playing like for the player.
No, I'm saying like I don't hate him to the level that I hate Jim Edmonds. Like, it's not like it's an unforgivable hate. I could flip the corner on Jock if he starts.
Well,
back.
I'm excited.
Don't get me wrong.
I'm excited.
I just never – I hated that guy back to the playoffs. And it was just like that smirk that he had is just like it used to drive me nuts. And it was just the guy that I picked out. Like, well, I don't like
team
that
now. So now, you
and now
like
he's on
it.
My team. So it's going to take a little time. I'm like, you know, it's like one of your boys dating a girl that you hated. You know what I mean? Like, it's like I got to warm up, you know. And it's just, I'm not going to jump in right away. I got to, you know, we got to meet in the middle here. So Mash, and I'll meet you in the middle.
Prove it to me. I don't know how I'm going to be able to watch the Cubs. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Buy a DirecTV login. I think Pigoy said he was willing to sell his to you.
We'll see. We'll see. But Boomy, you got a wacky web story for us.
I sure do, and I want to know where you guys sit on mayonnaise. Are you guys big mayonnaise fans?
No.
No. Me neither.
I mean, Maddie? I like it on a sandwich. I wouldn't say I'm like a mayonnaise stan. I'll just put it that way.
Well, I will tell you, I'm not a mayonnaise guy. I don't get it on my sandwiches. I find it repulsive, but there is a good use of mayonnaise out there found by the Israeli government, and they are using it to save sea turtles who have been involved in a devastating oil spill. No clue how they found this, if just some idiot grabbed the wrong container, but they have been using mayonnaise to treat endangered green sea turtles that were affected by an oil spill that coated Israel's coast in thick black tar. They say that this happened.
What does the mayonnaise do?
I don't. They're coating these turtles to help clean the tar off.
That can't be
basically like, mayonnaise. It's basically like Dawn dish soap that just like the degreaser.
Yeah, you see
like
the commercial where they're scrubbing the little ducks with a toothbrush and Dawn soap, but I think they're using.
I understand that can't be good for mayonnaise, the product.
Or it can be. Cuts all the grease out of your shitty stomach after that bad food you ate.
Now you're making sense. Now that I get you there. It said they're. Maybe not.
I don't think those are the same thing.
They said they are. Using
grease.
Sorry, guys.
Grease is grease, dude.
What are you talking about here? Slow down. They're actually feeding these turtles, and the some enzyme or something inside of the mayonnaise is helping their bodies to produce something that will help make the tar easier to come off.
It's got to make sense. It's solid. Grease is grease. It's a solid.
Exactly. So I don't know. It's working, and thank God we can't be having all these turtles out here dying. Whatever.
It's insane.
Hey, if it works, it works.
That's like when they say you take like a bottle of Coca-Cola, and then like when you put it on like something and it fizzes, you're drinking that. That means you're eating that, and that's helping break up grease.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. If A plus B, it must be C.
Oh my gosh. This is nuts. This is crazy.
I think I'm onto something here, boys. I think we just cracked the code to start dousing everything in mayo. I think mayo gets a bad rap. I'm going to say that. I think people are quick to jump on mayo in a lot of situations where they have no business jumping on mayo like it is the like an unuseful condiment, because it really is. It's mixed into a lot of things that you don't know about. So all I'm saying is don't sleep on mayo as a necessary component to life.
I rarely say this, but Matt, you were actually right. It says here that they found out that the mayonnaise helps to flush out the turtles' digestive systems.
Mother of God, I am a genius.
But hey, if your turtles ever end up with oil on them, just feed them some mayonnaise. You'll be good.
That's
Dawn and mayonnaise. Boom. We just saved the environment, boys.
So you're pretty much eating Dawn soap.
No.
You're eating mayo.
That's a wild stretch.
They do the same thing as what you just said, right?
Not really. But Dawn is for the outside. The mayonnaise helps their body to clean out their digestive system, which helps their immune system, helping them.
Because grease is grease.
I just said
you made it seem like they were.
That's what I thought, and then I said as I continued to read,
well, that makes sense.
That they're feeding it to them.
That makes sense then.
All right, now we're all on the same page. So, if there's ever an oil spill anywhere near here, we're going to go to Sam's Club, buy the biggest thing of mayonnaise, the biggest thing of Dawn soap. We're going to say turtles, boys. Now Maddie's the turtle guy now.
I'm the mayo guy, the turtle guy, the animal guy. I'm the Safari Matt, Maddie Pucks. What else we got?
Maddie oil spill.
Maddie Texaco.
That has a bad connotation to it.
Yeah. Are you Maddie Broken Clock behind you?
Maddie's been Maddie Broken Clock since we did this show.
I could not take my eyes off that tonight.
That clock has not had batteries in a long time.
And it's got a big chip in it.
The bottom is broken. I keep that clock because it's got character. It took a nasty spill one time in an unfortunate situation that was pretty funny. So I kept the clock as a memento. Not sharing that story on the airwaves.
If it was so tough, though, wouldn't it?
No, it's not tough. Still? No, that's the point. It doesn't work. I just like it, and I laugh at it. That's why I kept it.
Well, whatever floats your boat, man.
Hey, it's like a decoration, man. Why are you busting my balls about a broken clock here?
I just noticed it, and I could not stop looking at it the whole time.
It's a great clock.
Well, thank you to Matt Schoolfield at schools_01 and Boomy at Boomy TCF for joining me tonight. I am Zach Lilia at Z Lilia TCF. I mean this morning. Follow the main page at typical_Chicago, Instagram, Facebook. Type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. Go over to YouTube. Type in Typical Chicago Fans. Subscribe to the YouTube page. Morning shows, podcasts, interviews all on there. And then wherever you get your podcast from, type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. Shout out to 26shirts.com Chicago. Use the promo code Typical Chicago Fans at checkout at 26shirts.com Chicago. And you will get 15% off of your purchase. Again, that is Typical Chicago Fans at checkout for 15% off of your purchase at 26shirts.com Chicago. Anything else, boys?
To have a beautiful Friday, a beautiful weekend. Enjoy it while it's here.
We got a big podcast coming Sunday night. It'll be out late Sunday night. So be on the lookout for that. We got Dom Frederick coming on. We got the first Cubs game on Monday, spring training. So be
gotta get a good dose of morale there for it.
Yes, sir. Anything else, Maddie?
Have a beautiful Friday, boys.
This has been the TCF Morning Show, Friday, February 26th. We love you all.
Peace.
Mayo.